that I'll be trying to speak on today is sometimes I'd like to read 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14 to start with. It says, "But the natural man receive not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." So, in order to understand and obey the Scriptures, we have to be enlightened by the Holy Spirit. Because in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "You who he hath quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sins." John chapter 14 and verse 6, he told disciples and some people one day, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me." John 6:44 says, "No man can come to me or have the ability to come to me except my Father in heaven draweth him." So today, the Scriptures, the human nature, it rebels against what God has to say. So today the subject is 1 Peter chapter 3, and I'd like to read verses 1-7, and then we will go back and make some comments. It says, "Likewise, and as Brother Herb has already alluded to, that this word likewise, that means that we need to go back to the previous chapter or previous verses, because it's referring back to chapter 2, and we'll find that what that is in just a minute. It says, "Likewise, your wives, be in subjection to your own husband, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation or conduct, coupled with fear or with reverence, who adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair and the wearing of gold and or of putting on of apparels. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornaments of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old times, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as ye do well and do not and are not afraid with any amazement." Likewise, this is the word again in verse 7. "Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them, with your wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Now, we serve an almighty God. We serve an all-powerful God. We serve a God that is a God of order. He is not a God of confusion. And he has laid down in his word the procedure of the ways that we as his chosen people and elect people as believers in Christ are to live according to the Scriptures. Now, Peter emphasizes and talks a lot about persecution. And we don't hear much about that today as here in this nation, but there is increasing in persecutions, and it's even started to be pronounced here in this nation. So, Scripture says that it is not only given unto us to believe on Jesus Christ, but also to suffer for His name's sake. So it should behoove us as the children of God that we would expect to suffer for His name's sake if we live according to His word. So that's the reason it's so important that we, as the people of God, know what God says in His Word, how that we are to present ourselves and our conversation or our manner of life here in this life in which we live. Now, the message today is all Scripture, as Brother Herbert said, is given by inspiration of God. And it's all good. It's all from God. But this subject today is a subject that the devil is really working on. And this is concerning the family. Husbands and wives. The devil is trying in every way that he knows how to destroy the institution of the home. There's only two divine institutions that God has set in place. And first, that was marriage and establishing of the home, and then His New Testament Baptist Church. So, that's the only two organizations that I care about being a member of. That we know we have a lot of organizations today that does, we say, a lot of good things. But only through the home and through the New Testament Baptist Church is where God gets His honor and His glory. So he refers to that. So we see here in 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 7, the behavior of wives and of husbands, the exhortation to wives and to husbands concerning their respective duties or responsibilities. Submission in marriage. Now, I know today the women's lib and society wouldn't like this subject today. But God has an order now, and we will be going into that. So, submission in marriage. 1 Peter 2 and 18 says, "Servants, be subject or pleasing to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward." You know, it's some of us as wives and husbands, we're hard to get along with sometimes. But nevertheless, God has said that we are to tolerate them, even for the good or the bad. So, we find here in these verses, 1 through 7, that this type of attitude that I have just read in 1 Peter 2:18 finds favor with God and man. So, verse 1 in chapter 3 says, "Likewise, ye wives, be subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the conduct of the wives." So, what he's saying here, this word subjection It's a military word. It means to rank under or to come under authority of. Now, human nature don't like you telling me what to do, I telling you what to do. That's just against human nature. We don't like to be told what to do. But God has set, if you please, a pecking order. And that the wives in this relationship to their, the scripture says, to their own husband. Now, wives, you don't need to be worried about what other men say about you. You need to be concerned about what your husband thinks about you. Because you, in God's order, are responsible to him, your own husband, not to other men. First Peter 2, 13, 14, and 15 says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or to the governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God that with well-doing we may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. So when we as husbands and wives obey the scriptures and do the things that God has laid down for us to do, and that we please him in those duties and responsibility to husbands and wives, that we put to silence the things of foolish men by our godly conduct. So, subjection says to the wives, your part in applying humility to Christian living is to be a living testimony to your own husband by the way that you take place in the marriage seriously and be a good wife. It is obvious that the attitude encouraged here can only be expressed from a Christian person. Now, this is talking about if a wife has a husband that is not a believer. And it says here, by your conversation or your godly conduct and you living for the Lord and doing and fulfilling your duties of him according to the Word of God, that will have an influence on him and coming to believe in Jesus Christ. It says that you would be believing without the word, but by your conversation. So it does make a difference how we conduct ourselves as the professing child of God. That we are to live honestly before the world as a child of God. What that means is if you are a professing child of God and that you are living like the devil every day except on Sunday and come to the Lord's house on Sunday, you are living a lie. You are not being honest with your profession. Your manner of life and conduct is to line up with your profession according to the Word of God. So God has a divine order, which he does his divine work. 1 Corinthians 11 and 3, it says, but I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. So we all have responsibility and someone to answer to. The head of Christ is God. The head of the man is Christ. Head of the woman is man. Now that's what God says. So the concept of headship does not denote qualitative or essential differences. It denotes responsibilities and accountability, not superiority. Now, God in Genesis talks about He made man. He made, and He said, man make male and female. And that's all God made. We don't know nothing about transgender. The Word of God don't know nothing about transgender. What the devil is trying to do today is interrupt the natural way of humanity in the families and the reproduction of human life as God has set in motion. And this is all of the devil. And we need to understand that. So, but if he's, that is not God made man, male and female, so male and female are both made in the image of God. So therefore, we're just because God's order is He chose, He made man, created man first, and then He created woman from the rib of Adam. So, God said that God is head of Christ, Christ is head of man, and man is head of the woman. So Christ, the man was made first, and then the woman. So God, in Old Testament economy, the firstborn of the family was the one that was in charge of the inheritance. So God made man first, so He has set in motion an order of authority. And in the home, it is set that the man is the head of the home or the wife, and to be the chief teacher and sustainer of that home in physical and spiritual things. So, we see this in the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, they are the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There's not three gods, but they're one God in essence, and they believe in the attributes and all as God. But they are three different distinct personalities, if you want to put it that way. God the Father spoke. Jesus Christ created. And the Holy Spirit indwells and leads and guides. So, the prototype is seen in the person of the Trinity. The Father and Christ are co-equal, yet they fulfill different functions. Paul here argues for the quality of the sex and personal worth, but distinction in function and responsibility. Both man and woman are essential and important, but God has chose an order for things to be done. So, a person who is born again has already submitted to God through Christ. If you are a child of God, if you've been born again, We're already under the authority of Jesus Christ and have submitted unto that authority. So if he wants to live Christian humility, he will also submit to governments for God's sake, to his masters or employers. And now in this institution of marriage, the wife will submit to her husband. A good or a bad husband in the same spirit. Now, this takes the grace of God. We can't do this apart from the grace of God. But this is not saying that I don't believe that you are to obey your husband if he tells you or requires you to do something that is ungodly or not according to the Word of God. So Peter has a word to the husband concerning his part in submitting to the marriage. 1 Peter 3 and 7 says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." So, husbands, we are not to be a lord over God's heritage or over our wives. We are to be a godly head or leader, that they would be proud to honor you and to follow your instructions. So therefore, and if this verse says that husbands, if you don't do what's right according to the Word of God and treat your wife right, God may not hear your prayer. It says your prayers could be hindered. So, as I've said, and I'll reemphasize, that even though God requires this, that he does not require any of us to obey man rather than God. Peter talks about that. Peter preached about that. And he practiced that. They were commanded not to preach in the name of Christ anymore, but he says, we're to obey God rather than man. So, Acts 4 and 19 says, "But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge you." And Acts 5, 29 says, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man." So, the purpose toward which this unbearable humility, see, this is a type of, Brother Herb referred to, as that we are to humble ourselves and to come under the authority of, just like we come under the authority of God. So, that by your wife, your conduct, your manner of life, that your unbelieving husband may believe without the word. Christian wives can win their husbands to the Lord just by applying humility and by being a good wife. Now, we know all of this comes about because of God working his Spirit within individuals. Titus 2, 3, 4, and 5, it says, "The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands and to love their children. To be discreet, verse 5 in Titus 2. To be discreet, that means to be modest and decent. Chaste means to be sexually pure. Keepers at home. Workers at home and not to be idle. Now, I don't know all the details. If I'm wrong about this, Brother Herb can correct me, but I know that the perfect situation would be for the mother to be at home and to work at home and take care of the duties at home. But I know in life sometimes that is not possible, that the women have to work. But I think the connotation here, or the emphasis here, that you women be sure of your God-given responsibility first, is your responsibility of taking care of your husband and your children at home before outside work comes into play. So that's the kind of way I see that. But we need to be mindful that we, and keepers at home, and not to be idle. And the scripture gives us an example. And I would like to read, if you'll turn with me to Proverbs chapter 31, and I'm going to begin reading with verse 10. And this gives kindly overall characteristics, and the qualifications are what a good, virtuous woman is and what they do. Now, this is what the Word says. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. So that kind of tells me that they may be far and few between. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from far. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her husband and a portion to her maids. She considereth the field and buyeth. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengthen her arms. Excuse me. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candles goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hands to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself covering of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. See, she honoreth her husband, and he is known in the gates and in the world as being an honorable man. And she is an honorable person. She maketh fine linens and selleth it and delivereth, girdeth unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. You know, as always, the old saying is, the idle mind is the devil's workshop. So, to not eat not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Now look at verse 30 and 31. Favor is deceitful. That word favor means charm, or being, putting yourself out to be praised or to be noticed. Pride, not being humble. So favor or charm is deceitful. And beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. It is, as the scripture says, in 1 Peter 3, it should be of the hidden heart of the man that we should be worried about. Not the outward apparel or the putting on of cosmetics, a braiding of the hair, or fine clothing. This is not what is pleasing to God. God is pleased with the hidden man of the heart of humility. So, while they behold your chaste conversation or conduct coupled with fear, conduct or behavior in the kind of behavior suggest here is further described by chaste and coupled with fear or with reverence. Fear meaning respect or reverence and implying true humility. And it, the scripture says there in 1 Peter 3, Sarah's Abraham's wife demonstrates her hope in God by showing respect for her husband's authority, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are. So, as Sarah was the wife of Abraham, and she reverenced him as her husband and what he represented, and called him Lord. He says, and whose daughters ye are. So ye are supposed or should be following the same example as Sarah presented for humility and reverence toward her husband. And that is an example that should be followed. Verse 3 and 4 says, whose adorning is let not of that hour adornment of plaiting of the hair and the wearing of gold or the putting on of apparels, but let the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Adorning, the Greek word for adorning is kosmos, meaning to refer to the beauty or the attractiveness which these husbands will see in their wives. The cosmos. We see the world, I think, is referred to as the cosmos, isn't it? As the beauty of God, the way He's made and created things, the cosmos of God. So we need to make sure that your primary beauty is found in your heart, and not merit in your clothing or your jewelry. I don't see that it's anything wrong wearing some cosmetics moderately and jewelry moderately and clothes moderately. But what the Lord is saying, we don't need to be doing things that would draw attention to ourselves, to make us be built up in pride. But we are to be humble in the heart, that we might be able to serve Him and bring honor and glory unto Him. So as far as God is concerned, it is more important to have a meek and a quiet spirit. And after this manner in old times, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and do not, and are not afraid with any amazement. So Peter here is teaching that wife's submission to her husband is similar to that of Paul's teachings in Ephesians chapter 5. If you'll turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22, 23, 24, and 25. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So the marital responsibilities of husbands is to love your wives. So the Greek word here rendered love is agape, which is a godlike love. It is a love that God showed forth when he went to the cross to die for our sins. So therefore, he's saying, even as Christ is the head of the church and he died for it and gave himself for it, he is saying in return, your husbands are to be willing and able to show forth that kind of agape love towards your wife, that even if it comes to it, that you would lay down your life for your wife. Why? Because Christ laid down his life for mine and for you that are born again. So after this manner, this is the way the holy women who trust in God adorn themselves. Trusted means literally hope in God. And pictures a life of calm assurance and certainty about the fact God will reward such humility. That's the only way that we see a lot of turmoil in families today. And the reason for it is that they're upside down from what God has purposed for it to be. When God says that the man is to be the head of the home or the head of the wife. Now, I don't know, I may get in a little deep water here, I don't know, but it's not a 50-50 thing. Democracy won't work in this because one vote, it'd be a tie vote. So democracy is not going to work. So therefore, God has set the man in authority. A godly man in authority. And that's the only one the wife really to submit to. And like I've said, that they're not required to do anything that their husband tells them that is against God. So God has seen fit to put the man in charge or as his responsibility to provide and to support and to teach religiously and spiritually the home and the lead in God. That's an awesome responsibility. and to honor his wife. So, the meaning of humility for wives become terribly clear with the concrete example of Sarah. And she obeyed her husband and called him Lord. Now in verse 7 of 1 Peter 3. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, understanding. According to knowledge or to understanding. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Society today in the women's lib says that they want to be equal to man. Impossibility. That's not the way God has purposed it and made it. Now, women are not inferior to men. We are both important to God because we have been both made in the image of God. But God has set in motion an order of things to be done in the way that they're to be done. So, it says, the woman as the weaker vessel. Now, this is not saying that they are inferior, but we do know physically and medically that the female is physically weaker than the man because their build and their muscles and bones are and all are stronger, and that is because of the way God has made us. Not because that you're less important or inferior. I know a lot of women is a lot smarter than I am. Do a lot more stuff than I can. But we are not inferior to each other because God has made us as in His image. So likewise, this is the same word which was used in chapter 3 and verse 1. Servants. And in 1 Peter 2:13 it says, servants, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the kings as supreme. And then in verse 18 of chapter 2 of 1 Peter, it says, servants, be subject or pleasing to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the froward. So subject here, the Greek word for subject here is used H-U-P-O-T-A-S-S-O. I'd spell it because I'd mispronounce it. Which is primarily a military term to rank under or denote to be in subjection to. So it's saying, in likewise, you husbands, dwell with your wife. As he has said and told back in the previous verses, that how that we are to treat our masters and our people that work for us and people in different phases of life. And so also likewise, men, to dwell with your wives accordingly. In what sense can husbands be subject in marriage? Certainly they cannot be subject to their wives, for that would contradict verses 1 through 6. If you go by being subject to or come under the authority of, because God has said that the man is ahead of the woman. But it's saying here that in the marriage, that the husband is to be head of the home. and that in that institution that he is to humble himself and to honor his wife and to make sure that her needs and her desires and her needs are provided. That we are not to be a haughty individual as husbands and think we are a lord over God's heritage, or that we are the ruler or the dictator. That's not what God has in mind here. That we are, as husband and wife, just to humble ourselves and to deal with each other in humility in order to bring honor and glory unto God. So ultimately, what the purpose here is that the home and the husband and the wife is to be a picture of what Christ and the church is. And that should behoove us as husbands and wives and children of families that we do what this word says, because when we don't, we blaspheme God's word. We go against his word. So it's very important. So we are to treat them as being heirs together of the grace of life. The grace of life is the inheritance which has been received together. Part of that grace is the wife, and the husband's is to see that she gets it. If the husband does not give honor to the wife, prayers will be hindered, and all responsibilities in this verse is with the husband. All the blessings and the honor belongs to the wife. That we are to treat her honorably. If we don't, our prayers will be hindered. Now, a personal relationship. God did not create human beings to be isolated persons. Genesis 2 and 18 says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." You don't hear this word very often, but the word paraclete. The word paraclete, referring to the Holy Spirit, I believe, is that it comes alongside of you and is your helpmeet. So this is what this is talking about, that God created a paraclete or a helpmeet to come belong, not behind, not in front of, but beside her husband to be a helpmeet. Only that way will be honoring and glorifying to God. Interpersonal unity can be especially deep in the human family and also in our spiritual family. The church between men and women in a personal unity comes to its fullness expression in the age in marriage where husbands and wives become, in a sense, two persons in one. The Lord says, in Genesis 2 or 27, I believe it is, it says that for this cause, that the man is to leave his father and mother and to cleave. That word cleave means to stick to or be glued to his wife. And they shall be one flesh. Genesis 2:24, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." This unity is not only a physical unity, it is also a spiritual and emotional unity of profound dimensions. You know, we really don't realize how important and how sacred marriage is, because it is of God. a husband and a wife joined together in marriage are people that God has joined together. Matthew 19:6 says, "Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder." The union between husband and man is not temporary, but is lifelong. Romans 7:2 says, "For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband." So this union is not trivial, but it is a profound relationship created by God in order to picture the relationship between God and His church. Ephesians 5:25. "Husbands, love, agape, Godlike love, your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for." Heavenly Father, as we approach your throne, we come thanking you, Lord, that you are God and besides you there is none other. Heavenly Father, that things that you purposed and planned before the world was, that you are working them now out, and we can see your handiwork and working in your creation and in your people and through your church. And Heavenly Father, that you have now and now are receiving honor and glory through your church throughout all ages, world without end. So Heavenly Father, help us as members of one of your churches that we would be mindful, that we would humble ourselves and come under the authority of your will and your purpose, and that as man and woman, as husband and wife, that we would humble ourselves before the Almighty God and perform our duties according as you have laid down in your word, in order that we might be a representative of yours here on this earth. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.